You're listening to Packers Talk Network. Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Kramer, and you're listening to The Sweep.
Looked like Aaron Rodgers pulled out a little too quick.
You set me free.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
I feel like we can run the table.
Oh, I have sizzle.
What is happening, Pack Nation? Welcome back to another episode of The Sweep. I'm a little emotionally excited right now. I can't believe it, but my co-host, my partner in crime, the guy who keeps me on my feet, Blaine, welcome back. How does it feel? How does the mic feel? What is going on, my man?
Good to be back, Freddie. You know, we're under that, getting to that two-week draft status. Shit's starting to get crazy. We've been doing this for, seems like, 6 months now, evaluating the talent, and now we're just starting to pick people apart for the littlest stuff. So it's getting down there. It's getting fun. You're starting to hear all the trade talks, all this and that, and we will get into our version of what we might think happened today. So I'm excited about it.
I'm excited too. And to be fairly honest, yeah, I've been going at it a lot longer than 6 months. It's pretty much a never ending deal for me. Ask my wife. She is crazy, but she is supportive of the situation. So shout out to my wife. I love you. Thank you for putting up with all of my draft talk for the last, whatever, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months, maybe a year. But you know what? That's how it is. It never ends. You know, you have to pay attention in college. You have to pay attention to the NFL. It just, there's always things going on. I'm super excited. This is my absolute favorite time of the year. We're going to follow it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to keep everyone up to date. You can follow us at The Sweep on Facebook. That's a great place. There's always information being posted on there about guys that you can keep an eye on. You can also follow us on Twitter at @thesweep_pttf, another place where we like to post a lot of good stuff. So, you know, there's plenty of areas. If you don't want to listen to our voices, at least you can look at our pictures. Those are always fun. And if you really like us, if you really, really like us, we got a special event coming up at the Ground Round. Right then and there, we will be live tweeting. We will be talking about the draft, talking about each pick after every pick. It's going to be big. I know I am super pumped about it. I'm sure Blaine is super pumped about it. And if you even want to go farther than that, Ground Round, our sponsors again this year, that same night, free wings, tons of beer. And if you get all 10 of the first picks, right, which is insane, you will win Bud Light for an entire year. And not only that, you will win my respect for a lifetime, because I don't think anyone in their right mind can get the first 10 picks right. And there's a good reason for that, and we'll cover that later. But it's going to be a heck of an event. If you're able to make it, make it. If you're not able to make it, tune in and just watch us tweet, all that good stuff.
For all the other draft gurus out there, also along with that, every pick you do get right from 1 to 10, the ante just gets up. So if you pick the first pick right, you get a prize. If you get the second pick right, you get another prize. And every time you go on from 1 through 10, you get a better prize. And it's just a continuous thing. So the first 10 picks are pretty exciting down there. I've been down there. I go down there for the draft pretty much every year. Bud Light puts it on right. Ground Round puts it on right. Wing, like you said, wings for a while until supplies last. I'm sure they'll go fast. They'll get there early. And like you said, there's always cold beer there. And when there's cold beer and the Packers are involved and the NFL is involved, and now us, The Sweep, is involved, it's always a good day. So everybody get your booties down there. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, lace them up tight, baby, because it's going to be a hell of a night. I can't wait. I got my whole family. I'm talking wife, kids, uncles, aunts, everyone's going to be there. It's going to be awesome. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to get more picks than you are, right?
Probably. You know what? If you don't, I'm never going to let you hear the end of it. So you better do your research and study hard.
Now I'm nervous. I think everyone's safe. I think everyone's probably pretty safe with that first pick. After that is where it kind of gets crazy. I know that you have told me that you've got a few guys in the positions that we kind of are looking at. Everyone knows it. I think everyone is pretty confident that the positions that need are edge rusher, corner. You can look maybe at the running back position. I've put out there another position that I think no one's really looking at that could be something that we go for early on, in the first round, maybe even. And that actually would be a wide receiver. I can get into that later if you want to.
Just to throw another wild card in there with the wide receiver, I mean, safety.
Yep, safety. I know you've talked to me about safety. I mentioned safety on my mock draft a couple weeks ago at Pack to the Future. Check them out as well, packtothefuture.com. And I got castrated for it. People were like freaking out saying, why would you use a pick on a safety? I think I had them taking Monte Nicholson from Michigan State. Really good safety. In the third round. I mean, I wasn't taking him in the first. What the frick, man? But people castrated me for it. Listen. Safety is a need, guys. We got HaHa Clinton Dix. We got Morgan Burnett. I admit, one of the best tandems in the NFL, no doubt about it. But we have to look at this logistically. Past that, we don't have much. We got Kentrell Bryce, who everyone seems to love. But what is his resume? It's not much. And you have to look at the fact that Burnett, who is going to be a free agent after next year, I don't see Ted giving him another contract. He doesn't give people at that age usually another contract. So he's got to look at someone to replace that guy. And not only that, not only looking at replacement, but where is our depth? We need some depth there. I know you got a pretty strong feeling about the safety position. So that you're looking at?
I'm not going to rule out Jabril Preppers in the first round out of Michigan. Okay. I mean, I know he's kind of a flyer. He's kind of that athlete, prototype player in college, kind of do it all for you. But I think, you know, if you bring him in and he gets a year under his belt behind Burnett and learns from some of these guys and just gets his feet wet a little bit. And you know what? I know we've touched on this in the past. Morgan Burnett played some of his best football last year inside the box. Yep. And he's close to the line of scrimmage. He sees, I think he reads the backfield very well, is very good in run support. I see a lot of that type of player in Jabril Preppers, and I think that's the way the NFL is going. You're seeing these safeties turn into these hybrid linebacker safety types that can cover as well as play in the run. It just makes your defense so much more versatile with another cover guy on the field.
I mean, I've talked about it in many, many shows. The hybrid position is my thing, and I think that's something that Ted is going to have to eventually address. But yeah, so there's the safety thing. Let me quick talk about the receiver thing since we got into the safety thing. Here's my thing with the receivers. You got Jordy Nelson. Yeah, unbelievable. The guy's fantastic, but he is at a certain age, and let's just be realistic about the situation. I don't doubt that he won't come out this year and probably still put up 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, but that might be the last time. Then you look at Davante Adams, who is such a conundrum because he's a droppy dropster, but in the same sense, he's also had some pretty amazing catches and plays. And if he comes out this year, contract year, and does fantastic, which most people do on their contract year, he's going to want a ton of money. And I think that that's something that is concerning, and I don't know where Ted is on that situation. And then you go past that, and you have Randall Cobb, who a lot of people consider to be an overpaid slot receiver. So you have to consider the idea of, well, Jordy's probably got 1, maybe 2 years left. If we maybe don't get Davante Adams back, we don't really have a number one. We don't even have a number two, maybe. Because I don't know if we really look at Randall Cobb as a number one or two. I think he's that great third slot receiver. So you'd almost have to look at him maybe going after someone maybe in the first, second, third which is scary. And I think if Ted goes after a receiver in the first, people's heads are going to explode.
You know, we talked about that. And
yeah,
I think you said you were, if there was a guard or a wide receiver picked in the first round, you'd be pissed and blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you what. Last year, Josh Sitton got cut, what, a week before the season started?
Yep.
You know, you draft a wide receiver in the first or second round, you go through camp and he's promising, Randall Cobb could become a cap casualty at that point. Because like you said, there's a wide receiver free agent after this season on our team who's shown some pretty good skills. Yeah, he's had his drops, whatever, but he also has had 10 touchdowns and 1,000 yards a time or two. So he's proven the ability. We also have Geronimo Allison, who just got re-signed last week to an extension, and he looks okay. He looks to be the new Davante Adams a couple years ago. Maybe even a little bit better as far as communicating with Aaron Rodgers. They seem to have a good rapport early. But yeah, I'm not going to be surprised at all. And I don't think people should lose their minds as much as they think they might if a receiver gets picked in the first or second round.
I think when it comes to Ted, you can't ever really be, you can't let yourself lose your mind because you don't know he might go somewhere. You have no idea.
Well, the deeper you look into it, it makes sense. I mean,
it does, and that's the thing is I've gone over it, looked at the numbers, looked at the stats, looked at the age, looked at everything, and it's like, yeah, I know right now in this exact moment we have a fantastic receiving corps, but come next year we got, you know, Jordy Nelson. I don't know how old Jordy Nelson is, but you know he's not going to be able to do it forever.
31, and then you look I believe.
Yeah, so 32, and then you got Davante Adams, who could require a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. And then you have Randall Cobb, who's already getting paid too much money. Let me ask you this, though. If Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb, incredible friendship, does that factor in?
It should.
Or just, okay, I agree, but does it? Could it?
You know, I don't think so. Because
do you think Ted is the kind of guy that would keep him just because he wants to keep his quarterback happy? Or do you think he would be willing to say, eh, sorry, tough shit, and then what, now Aaron's pissed? I mean, how do you do that?
Here's what I'll say to that. Who did Aaron Rodgers have on the top of his list to sign back this year? Jared Cook. Yeah. Loved okay. him. Wanted him back. Ted didn't re-sign him. We all freaked out for a couple of minutes. But you know what? Ted's always got a plan. And instead of just not doing anything, he went out and got somebody that may be better. And Aaron Rodgers was happy. So as long as he counteracts getting rid of Cobb with something else, which I believe there's a couple of wide receivers in the first and second round potential to be able to come in and play right away. And wide receiver is one of those positions sometimes that a rookie can come in and have an impact immediately. And usually the first and second round type players are those guys. So I wouldn't be too freaking out if that happens. Is it my preference? No. But if you think about the scenario with Davante Adams coming up for contract, having Cobb become a cap casualty at the beginning of this year, trying to get that deal done before he absolutely goes off this year, could probably save you some money there. And a rookie wide receiver is a hell of a lot cheaper than Randall Cobb.
Yeah, I think receiver is definitely becoming kind of how I look at the running back position, where there's just a plethora of insane athletes out there that you can get at the receiver position. I will say one thing about your Cook comment. I can't compare Cook and Aaron Rodgers to Rodgers and Cobb when it comes to the friendship thing, because Cobb is like, they're like best buddies. And I think that's the tougher thing than just losing a tight end that you had a lot of fun with playing 1 year in. So, I mean, I think...
Let me ask you this. Does Ted really give a damn who hangs out with who and who's friends?
No, I don't think he does. But I just... I have to bring it up.
TJ Lang was pretty upset that Sitton got cut. And you know what? TJ Lang still had a pretty damn good season. And I know...
TJ Lang also left the next year, too, though.
Wouldn't you have?
Would Aaron?
No, he won't. He can't. And that's another thing, too, is a lot of people forget that he's probably going to get a raise here in the next couple of years. So we need to get that money from somewhere. I think.
No, he's going to. No, he. I bet he gets re-signed this year, Aaron.
Yeah. And where's the money come from?
If they, the money that Ted doesn't spend in this offseason.
And or
release. And or, yes. Yeah.
I mean, Clay All Matthews right. is another guy that could also be a cap casualty depending on who we get at edge rusher.
Well, it'd be nice to get
there's so many out of But we've also seen that if okay, there's no partners. Ted's not afraid to just cut him loose. He'll do what's best for what he thinks. What he thinks is best for the organization is what he's going to do, and he doesn't give a damn what you or me or any other Joe Blow Packer fan thinks. Matter of fact, he might not even give a damn what Mike McCarthy thinks. So when you ask me if he cares if Rodgers is going to his feelings are going to get hurt, I say absolutely not, because the Green Bay Packers organization is going to be here long after all of those guys. And I think Ted knows that he'll be remembered in Green Bay for as long as the franchise is here, just like Ron Wolf. That's what GMs do, especially once you win a Super Bowl. And you don't have this type of success, as much as I bag on Ted, you don't have this much success by doing things based off of personal feelings within the organization. You do things based off of the business side of the organization. Coming from me, that's high praise for Ted, and that's about all he's going to get out of me.
I was just going to say, sounds like you think Ted's the freaking coolest dude in the world right now, because that sounded pretty good. luckily for me, I've got it on record here, so that's good. I will probably listen to that 4 or 5 times tonight before I get done editing. I'm just going to keep replaying that. But all right, let's move on. Do you want to give me a couple guys that we could talk about, or that names that people, obviously we've heard a few of them, I know, but some guys that maybe you've been looking at that you like at some of the obvious positions of edge rusher, corner, stuff like that?
Yeah, and I basically have first-round grades for all these guys, and I kind of have it broken down into 3 groups for Green Bay in the first round, and it's cornerbacks, obviously, edge rushers, obviously, and then I have a handful of guys that are kind of all over the map, wide receiver, running back, D-end, guard, the safety, guys that I think are possibly going to be available at that point. All of these guys are touted as first round draft picks, maybe early second. And I think a lot of these names, people are going to say, oh, he's not going to be there and he's not going to be there and he'll be there in the second round. Well, I hate to break it to you people. Nobody knows who's picking who exactly. I mean, outside of that first pick, like you said earlier, you can't really pick it because a lot of this stuff depends on what happens before the next pick. Yes. So if you're 10th overall, who you pick at 10 might change based off of who's picked at 4 or who's picked at 7 and so on and so forth. I think you can understand what I'm saying here. I've seen some of these guys go as high as 8. I've seen some of them go as low as 37. So keep that in mind. Don't freak out on me if I say a name that you think is absolutely going to be off the board there, because there are no absolutes in the NFL draft. And you and I both know how that can go, especially if there's a trade or two. Every year, there's a guy that's way undervalued and goes way later than he should. Aaron Rodgers. There's also that guy that gets picked in the top 7 or 8 picks that everybody's kind of scratching their head like, well, you probably could have got him at like 19 or 20. So that's when you're going to see a lot of the movement. I think it's also important to mention that there are 3 teams this year that have 2 first-round draft picks. So look for some of those teams that might be looking for a cornerback or a running back or a wide receiver, some of those deeper positions, to trade back later, either later into the first round or even into the second, where they think they can get close to the same value and add a couple of more picks for their team. Everybody should note that GMs this time of year, draft picks are gold. Not necessarily when the pick is, but the number of picks. That's where you build your team. That's why Ted does what he does. And it's just how it works. The GMs treat these picks like gold. And some of the guys for corner, like you said, a lot of these guys have been brought up before. We should all know the names. I have 4 of them that I believe are possibilities, and there's probably more, but these are the the main guys I think are important to remember. The first guy I have is Quincy Wilson out of Florida. The second guy is Garyon Conley out of Ohio State. The third guy is Tre'Davious White out of LSU. And the fourth guy is Kevin King out of Washington. In my opinion, all of these guys should be off the board by the time Green Bay picks, but we all know how that works, and they probably won't be. As a matter of fact, I can almost guarantee that one of them will be there when Green Bay picks. That's the order in which I listed them is how I have them ranked personally based off of film and other scouting reports that I've read.
Let me jump in here. Love them, all of them, everything like that. I love Kevin King. I think that he is a beast.
Yeah.
That's it. I think he reminds me of, and I don't like this it annoys the shit out of me, this guy does, but he reminds me of him, and that's Richard Sherman. And I think he's got that same size and that same lankiness and just that same ability. And he, I love it. I would love to put a 6'3 guy on the outside and just cover up with guys, because you know what? As much as there's a lot of the speedstery short receivers out there, there's some sow guys. And in the NFC North, there's some big guys, especially. I mean, obviously, Kelvin Johnson isn't there anymore, but you still have other, you know, or I guess Alshon Jeffrey's gone too. But I mean, there's just, it's nice to have a big physical guy on the outside. And I think he fits that mold a lot. Great awareness too. I mean, he's one of the better corners out there. So yeah, Kevin King, a name that I feel like is out there, but not as popular as some of the other ones. And I think he's a guy that won't make it past the second round. And I'm not sure he goes in the first yet, just because of the amount of good corners. So there's always a possibility of even snagging him, moving up in the second, possibly too, to get him.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. If they don't see the corners flying off the board like they originally think, maybe they trade out of the first and get an early second with whoever's picking in the third or fourth pick in the second round, and they snag them there and they get an extra pick out of it. I mean, that's the type of value picks that you're going to start seeing here because of the overabundance of talent at certain positions this year.
And I think you can get easily first round talent in the second round, even maybe the third round, when it comes to either corners and a couple other positions, just because of how deep the class is, and especially how deep the class is in the positions we need.
Yep. And I guess looking at the order of the draft picks here, there's some guys that even out of these four that are sometimes projected to be around pick 10 to 15. Now, teams that have two picks in the first round include the Tennessee Titans, who pick 5 and 18. Then you have the Cleveland Browns, who pick 1 and 12. And then you have the New Orleans Saints, who pick 11 and 32. That 11 and 12 number, and possibly 18, if these guys are going faster than Ted thought, maybe they trade up. And these are all possibilities that are all in play when teams have two picks in the first round.
Well, and maybe, you know, honestly, you could almost trade back to 32 with New Orleans and pick, you know, like that's basically a second round pick right there.
Yep. And if they can get a fourth or a third, another third or a fourth for that, why not?
Or even a fifth, because honestly, I trust Ted more than anybody in the world in the fourth and fifth and third rounds.
Couldn't agree more.
That's
what I have for corners. Obviously, there's other names that are thrown out there, but those are the four that I have highest graded. I don't know that anybody could argue that. Maybe the order here or there. But it is what it is. That's my opinion, and that's the way it is. So moving forward, the edge rushers I see Green Bay taking a gander at. And again, like I said about the corners, some of these guys can be projected anywhere from pick 5 to 30. And they're all realistic possibilities to fall that far. And they're all realistic possibilities to be gone. I think there will be at least one of these four. I have them ranked in order by talent and grade based off of film study and other scouting reports. The first guy I have is Tekaris McKinley. Many people are calling him Tack. I'm fine with that. He's out of UCLA. He's a big, big man. I was watching a little bit of TV Saturday evening, and they had a college conference challenge where they brought in some three or four guys from each conference and did a skills challenge. He is a big freaking human being.
I watched that. He's huge. He's freaking insane.
He's so long and big and just looks the part. And, you know, you watch his film and you see something. I know you're watching a lot of his game breaker plays and stuff like that, but he's just a beast. He has a high motor. He's a Ted guy. He's from UCLA. I know that makes you nervous. Yeah, he's very young. What is he, 21?
Yep. That's Ted. Ted's MO right there.
Yep. So then I have a high grade on him. So I think if he's there, I almost have him as my first-round lock for Green Bay if he's on the board.
See, this is my problem with Tack is, and it's unfortunate because I have such a sour taste about him taking another UCLA guy or another basically Pac-12 guy that I've not given the guy enough credit, and I've been kind of hard on him, and I've been kind of like hoping that Ted doesn't take him until I watched the Skills Challenge on Saturday. And I was looking at him, and I'm like, this dude is insane. I'm like, I'm okay with it now. You know what? If he takes him, I think that he's so good, or he's so big, and he's pretty damn quick. He's incredibly strong. They say that him off the line is something remarkable, his jump and everything like that. So, you know, I've changed my mind a little bit on it. You know, I think it would be... It would be funny if Ted took yet another Pac-12 guy in the first round, but I think that at some point, one of them has got to be really good. And don't get me wrong, Clay Matthews has been great, and I don't think that Kenny Clark, I think he's going to be something actually special. The measurables and stuff, it's like, how can't he be good?
Yep. Film don't lie, Freddie, and sure I hate to say it. I've been on Tack for a long time, pretty much from the beginning.
You have. I'll back you up on that.
I've been trying. I mean, I hear you. Trust me. I totally get it. I just can't look past the film. And what I see on film, it's not like he's playing in like the MAC. You know, he's playing out west in the big boy country with the Pac-10 or Pac-12. There's some good teams out there. There's some good offensive linemen coming out of that conference. Yeah. He plays well against good competition every week.
All right, you know what? I'm not going to battle it anymore. I'm letting it go. Tax legit.
And you know the next three guys, especially the next guy, he'll most likely be gone. And you know, I know your last episode with Thane he's high on Derek Barnett out of Tennessee. And it's hard not to be, but you know, I just didn't see the burst. He didn't impress me on film. So I have him ranked second. If he's there, and Tack is gone, I think he's a shoo-in for a pick. You can't argue with it. The next guy I have is out of Michigan, Taco Charlton. I think he's another sure bet. You know what you got. He's played in the Big Ten, good competition. Gets off the line well. He's kind of that tweener guy where you don't know if you want him on the edge or if you'd play him at the end in the 3-4.
My only concern with him.
I think he would be able to make the transition. I really do. I think he has enough speed to do that. The question mark there would be his coverage skills, which could make him a liability on first and second down when he's not just, you know, ears back, rushing the passer type guy. And then the hometown favorite, obviously he's on my list. I've watched him play the last year. And I think that's his biggest downfall is that he's pretty much only got the 1 year under his belt. He's got the name. He's the hometown boy. The pedigree is there. He has the skills. He has the motor. But is that enough to pursue a long, successful Hall of Fame type career in the NFL? I think sometimes the expectations are risen so high that no matter what happens, when he gets to the NFL, he's going to fail because he's not his brother. And yeah. I think people are going to forget that. They're going to expect to see JJ Watt numbers instead of TJ Watt numbers. And that realistically is almost unachievable, but I have him as my fourth edge rusher. I think he's one of the four that may fall out of the first round. If there is one here, so I don't know what your thoughts are on TJ and if there's anybody else you would throw in that top four, top five edge rush name.
I like, I love TJ Watt, obviously. I mean, I love the Badgers. I love Wisconsin. It's somewhat biased. I'll admit it. But I think he has an incredible skill set, and I think he is just breaking the surface of what he's about to do. And I think that's where you can really kind of get excited about what he could bring to the NFL. You hit it on the head, though. He has an unfair situation to come into, and the fact that he will be instantly and already is compared to his brother, and that just sucks. So hopefully that changes, but it won't. I just think that he has a lot of similarities to JJ in the way that they play, and I think that he will be successful. I think he'll be successful in NFL standards, but maybe not successful in the eyes of the fan standards, just because of what you said. So, but I would love it. I mean, I think a lot of people would love it, especially us here in Wisconsin. It would be interesting to see if he did, say, fall past Wisconsin and you know, Ted doesn't take him. I think you're going to see a lot of people pissed. I think if Ted did take him in the first round, I think we could consider Ted as president of Wisconsin. But here's the thing. You said you think he could possibly fall out of the first. I don't personally see that because I think there's a lot of intrigue there. I think there's the name. And the fact that he did have a fantastic combine, I think, has really kind of helped his draft stock rise a bit. And unfortunately, he probably will get drafted pretty early because of his last name. But if he does fall to Wisconsin, or sorry, to Green Bay, I would be more than happy with him. If he falls past us, then so be it. One other guy that I would throw in there that actually I have seen linked with Green Bay in the second round, so I'm going to go past your first round and stuff.
I think I know who you're going to say, but go ahead.
I don't think you do. All right. No, this is a different. This is a kind of a kind of an outside guy. It's not really. It's from an outside school, so I'll give you that much. Tyus Bowser.
Okay.
He is a freaking man child. He has just incredible burst and strength. He is a specimen. He is a complete physical specimen. Explosive. He's gifted. He's flexible. He brings a different aspect to it, and I think that this defense, more than anything, needs that. Needs a wrecking ball of a freaking defensive end edge kind of guy. And that's it. So now I don't know if we go for him. I don't know if he's worthy of the second round. I don't know if he's worthy of the first round. Maybe he does. It's a guy that stock has been kind of rising over the last few weeks, which happens. Let me be honest with you, folks. When you talk about the draft for 3-4 months straight, you almost have to start kind of just going kind of crazy, and guys start rising and they shouldn't be, and guys start dropping and they shouldn't be. It's just what it is. It's all over the place because you have to come up with a new name every week to talk about. That's part of talking about the draft. Otherwise you'd get bored. But he's a guy that has slowly started to rise here at the end a little bit, and he's a beast. He missed a couple games last year with injury, which I think has kind of hurt his stock, but that's something that Ted looks at. And Ted has been known to take guys who have had injury pass. He's also failed miserably with that, but there's been other guys that have been successful. He's just a beast. So if you get a chance, even for just for fun, look up his highlights. Just watch the guy play. He's a machine. But other than that, you know, I can't argue really with anything you said. Getting into the tack thing, I think Derek Barnett is kind of your safe bet. you know, 5, 6 sack, 7 sack a year guy for 10 straight years. You know, maybe have a couple big years here and there. You know, there's, you know, there's always a couple other guys. There's, you know, Derek Rivers from Youngtown. I think he's something that's kind of interesting. Another one of those players. And
you son of a gun.
Is that it?
I was just going in with him.
Yes, go for it. You can take him.
Since you're going into possibly the second round and maybe Ted values a guy and takes a guy nobody's heard of. He's done it before. I shouldn't say nobody's heard of him because obviously you and I have. Sometimes I like to think that we know more than the casual fan, but I could be wrong. Derek Rivers out of Youngstown State. He's a pretty big dude. I mean, he's 6'4", only about 250, so he's a little bit on the lighter side, but he can move. He runs a 4.6 40. He had 30 reps on the bench press, got a 35-inch vertical leap. He's a big talent from a small school. And I think that's probably his biggest knock is the fact that the quality of talent he played against isn't what you're seeing in the SEC and the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and some of these bigger conferences. But, you know, I keep saying this, but the film don't lie, and he can only play against who's lined up across from him. And he can only beat them so much. He's a 3-year starter. He did play 10 games his freshman year, ended up with 3 sacks his freshman year, had 14 his sophomore year, 9 his junior year, and ended his career with 15 his senior year. He flat out goes, and his get off the line is awesome. The one thing they kind of knock him on is his second move. If he doesn't beat you off the line, he has a little trouble with tackles that have some length. Which could hurt him in the NFL, but as far as young raw talent, he's one of those guys. And I know Ted's not afraid of a project. I just don't know if he'll pull that trigger in the first round. I think if he's there in the second, I think that's great value. But yeah, he was kind of my sleeper first round, second round teeter totter guy at the edge rush. So I don't know if you know any more about him that I haven't covered, but he's that guy that none of the casual fans are probably even have him on the radar, but don't be surprised if you hear that name day one. And if not day one, you'll hear him day two for sure.
Definitely. And I know what, to be totally honest, I bet a lot of the casual fans don't even know where Youngstown State is. I mean, seriously, but yeah, you know, to be kind of fair and to be kind of honest with you here, Tyus Bowser is the guy that I like. I think he's just freaky kind of, what was the guy's name from the Tennessee Titans back in the day? The edge rusher. No, Javon Kearse. He kind of reminds me of Javon Kearse. He's obviously shorter than Javon Kearse was, but he's kind of got that same just crazy.
I thought you were talking about Remember the Titans.
No, but Vertier, that props for remembering that. That's a good scout right there. But you know what? Honestly, I started with the Tyus Bowser thing, and as I was honestly talking about it, I thought to myself about Derek Rivers, and then I thought, you know what? I bet that's who Blaine was going to think I was going to choose, which is why I talked about him right after Tyus Bowser, because I knew it. I had a feeling that's where you were going as well. And
doesn't he fit Ted's bill though? Like, he's perfect. You know, the guy laying in perfect. The weeds type. You know, it's just a small school. Perfect.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You nailed it. You hit all the right things. You said all the right things. I think that he is someone that you could see Ted draft, and everyone goes, "What? Who's that guy?"
Yeah,
and then me and you look at each other, high five. And then grab the mic and drop some serious knowledge on it at the ground round, which you guys need to be at April 27th. I can't argue. I can't say anything about it except for Derek Rivers, man. And I'd buy his jersey.
Yeah, I would. You know, depending on the number, I'm a big number guy, so I got to look
up. Yeah, that's true. That's a very true. If you could get like a low number, that'd be kind of sweet. Just something different.
But moving forward, I kind of have a jumbled mess of players here in different positions that, you know, I'm not going to be disappointed if they go, but I'd be surprised. And I have five guys here who will, a lot of the names you've heard, I've heard. We haven't talked about a specific one much, so I'll probably go into depth a little bit more for him. But the first guy I have here is wide receiver from Western Michigan, Corey Davis. I think he will be long gone, but there's always that possibility. If he's there, I think he's going to be hard to pass on.
I think that he is going to be a freaking stud in the NFL.
I agree. And
he will be the best receiver to come out of this draft, I'll guarantee you.
Thinks you're going to go that big on him, huh? Because there's a few good ones.
There's a lot of good ones. I'm not... Trust me, I think that there's a very good draft class this year when it comes to that. I think Mike Williams isn't all that. I think John Ross is an interesting situation. You know, I think, you know, there's a few other ones. I'm not going to get all into it. I just think that Corey Davis is just the prototypical perfect wide receiver, and I think that he will be fantastic. And I could be totally wrong, but I feel it, and I think he'll be awesome.
Well, sweet. I would be ecstatic if they got him at 29.
So. Oh my gosh, yeah. Absolutely.
The second guy I have in the random position group is running back from Florida State, Dalvin Cook. You know, you and I have talked about him as far as his character and stuff like that. And you know, he's kind of a wild card. He's one of those guys that could fall or he could go early. And you just don't know. And if he's there, he's another guy that's intriguing as all hell to have in the backfield. I think he's proved himself to be more than capable in the ACC. I know running back is kind of one of those positions where it's deep and you don't really want to know if you want to waste a first round pick on him, but I think there are a couple of running backs that are a little bit, maybe a half a tier above that big group that'll be there in the second and third round. So, and I put him in that group.
He's the only well, I should not say the only person, but he is someone that I definitely see dropping or could drop because of the off the field issues. I think that the fact that he has so many of them in the last couple years is a huge red flag. And I think his talent level is ridiculous. And I think if he goes to the right organization and he's able to keep, you know, his shit together, I think you're getting a great running back. I think you're getting a versatile running back. I think you're getting someone who could pretty much do everything. But I just don't trust it. I think it's insane that Dalvin Cook has been kind of gotten a pass from everything. I mean, yeah, we're talking about it, but we're not talking about it like we should. I mean, Cook's arrested for punching a woman. He's animal cruelty. He's got gun charge, I think. I mean, these are serious things, and he hasn't, like, we don't really hear about it. It's kind of crazy. Whereas in the same breath, a guy like Joe Mixon, who had one incident 4 years ago, and yes, it was hitting a woman, and do not get me wrong, that is disgusting on every level. But he's had to suffer through that for four straight years. Everyone act like he's the worst person in the world, and he has not had a single issue since then where Dalvin Cook has repeated offenses. So that's where I get confused. And to be totally honest with you, I think Joe Mixon is a better all-around running back than Dalvin Cook. That's me. I love Joe Mixon. And I think that, unfortunately, he might drop too. I would love if he came to Green Bay. I know that he has that one issue, but that's 4 years ago. If you look at what I did 4 years ago, you'd be pretty shocked. So that's my only thought on Dalvin Cook. I think his talent is there. I can't quite look past the off-the-field issues.
Yeah, and you know, I don't blame you. I don't have any problem with teams or fans or anybody else knocking on guys for their off the field stuff. I think it's a little bit, I don't know if I want to call it unfair, but maybe unjust to hold guys in similar situations to totally different standards. I think that's kind of I don't know how to describe it. It's just, it's unfair and it's yeah. unjust. It's not right. Unfortunately, it is what it is. It seems like Florida State players seem to get a pass when it comes to this type of stuff. I don't know yes. if they just do a better job of brushing it under the rug with their high dollar boosters, but it is what it is. And, you know, they kind of made their own bed and their situations are similar, but probably altogether different. And they'll both deal with it accordingly. And I think you're 100% right with the Joe Mixon. I would evaluate those two at very, very similar, if not having Mixon higher than Dalvin Cook, as far as a grade goes. And I think Green Bay would be a perfect landing spot for a Joe Mixon. Not that you can't get in trouble in Green Bay. You can get in trouble anywhere if you try hard enough, but it's probably one of the better situations, just being a small market. For a guy like that, so
but a lot. We're a little nicer media wise and fan wise. Right. We don't, you know, if he goes to a big city or something, you might have women's rights coming after him and crazy stuff like that. Where here, it's like, you know, and not saying that that's not possible, and then it's not saying that he should get a pass or we should never think about the fact that it happened, but it also happened 4 years ago, and people who do come to this organization, we've usually welcomed with open arms and given that chance. Now, if he were to do something again, I think that's, you know, then it's done. But yeah, I think he would, it's again, a great fit for him. Joe Mixon, I think, would be awesome here. He's a great three down back, fantastic catching the ball out of the backfield. And he just has, I love him. I loved him from the get go. You know, I didn't love him when that happened, but I just think he has a lot of potential.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, who else you got?
Next guy on the list is he's a D end out of Michigan State, Malik McDowell. Okay. I think just the fact that he has the potential to be a D end or an outside linebacker, he is a big, big man. He's 6'6". He kind of reminds me a lot of Julius Peppers.
Okay.
Almost Julius Peppers when he played for the Panthers.
Okay.
An athletic freak, just a big, big man, long, 34 3/4 inch arm length. He gets off the ball well. And like I said, the versatility to be able to rush the passer from multiple positions, hand in the dirt or standing up. He's shown that ability throughout his career at Michigan State. And he's very good in run support, which is huge. In my eyes, I know everybody talks about all these edge rush DN type players and all they need to do is get after the quarterback. Well, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good if he's getting so far upfield all the time that all you have to do is run a draw to get past them. And I don't want to rag on our middle linebackers and safeties too much because I like our safeties, but I think we still need a little work at middle linebacker. But if they're one-on-one with some of these running backs coming through the line now, I don't know that I pick our linebackers one-on-one too many times. So guys that can fill in the DN spot in the 3-4 and still be able to stand up and rush the passer as well can be valuable. There's a very good chance that he's off the board at 29. But if he's there, I think it's a serious consideration for Ted. Another guy probably not a fan favorite, kind of a blasé move, feels a need, a guard out of Western Kentucky, Forrest Lamp. It's possible he's gone, but it's also possible he's there. He's one of those guys that he could go as high as 12 and he could drop down to 30. I know I'm saying that about a lot of these guys, but that's just the way it is. And I think that's maybe not an immediate need, but a guy that could come in and get some playing time his first year in and be a long-term starter down the road. And then the fifth guy I have on that list, we talked about him a little bit earlier, being one of those hybrid type players. After Burnett has his contract come up this year, the safety out of Michigan, Jabril Peppers. I think if he's there, which there's a good possibility that he is, it's a consideration depending on how the rest of the draft is going with the edge rushers and the corners. So those are the guys that I have on my radar. I know there's quite a few of them. 13 or 14 of them to be exact, but that's what Ted's going to have to deal with that first night for about 3 hours probably before he picks. Every time somebody gets picked, he's going to have to readjust where people are at and what they think, where they value people, if he should trade up, if he should trade back. But I don't know how you feel about those last three guys I touched on and if you have anything to add.
I mean, I love the Forrest Lamp. I mean, he's clearly the best guard in the class. And he's also probably got the coolest name. If he landed at us, I would never be mad about it because we definitely need that position. But I feel like he's so far above everybody else in his class at guard that he will get drafted early. Because there are teams that, besides ours, that obviously have interior offensive line issues. And then, you know, the Jabril Peppers thing, I don't know. I'm torn. I've seen a ton of video on him where he just is terrible in coverage, and just terrible in certain situations. If you get a chance, go on Bleacher Report. They actually have a small little, like, 30-second video on it. I just think he's kind of raw, if you will, in a sense, just because they haven't played him in one real position. You know, he's been everywhere, yep. And so it's not giving him a chance to really sit down and focus on one aspect of his game or one position of his game, I should say. But when you look at it, you also have a guy with insane talent ability and a guy that you could put in all over the field and a guy that you could play at a position like you did kind of with Seawoods at the end of his career.
What he reminds me of? He reminds me of a more athletic and stronger version of who we just lost.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the thing is I want to refill that position. And I think he offers something special. Plus, he offers an opportunity at punt return, kick return, which I think is exciting. I think if you draft Peppers, you get someone that a lot of people are going to get excited about because he's just that kind of playmaker. But you're also getting a guy that could really suffer and get his shit rocked in the NFL. And so that scares me because I'm not sure he's quite polished enough to make the right decisions and someone will be out there just ready to fucking nail him. So
he's a little bit of a small guy. Here's one way I'll justify it.
Okay.
I believe Ted has, don't quote me exactly, but said something to this effect at some point, is that they like to have high quality football players on the team. And if you're a football player, if you're a good football player, you can play for the Packers.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not you want to draft a situational type guy or a hybrid type player or someone who might have that just raw ability in the first round, that's up for debate. I'll give you that. But the question isn't whether or not the kid can play football, because he obviously can do that. He could play damn near every position, running back, wide receiver, corner, safety, linebacker, put him anywhere. He can do it. At what level he can do every position? Is he a jack of all trades and a master of nothing? Probably. But are there needs for guys like that on football teams? Hell yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Question is do you value him enough to draft him in the first round? And I think that he might be one of those players that is special and has that ability to affect the game by one or two plays every couple of weeks where he is that value. And he'll be cheap. You know, he'll be cheap for 3 or 4 years. And if it doesn't work out and he's a special teamer and that's all he is, returning punts and kicks and just making awesome plays on special teams, then so be it. You tried. But as far as between like a Forrest Lamp and a Jabril Peppers, Forrest Lamp is meh, whatever, okay. It is what it is. It's not sexy. Jabril Peppers is a potential sexy pick, you know?
That's full sexy. That's next level sexy.
So, I mean, that's where I'm at with that, and that's why I think if he's there, it's something to consider. And then the Malik McDowell is a depth pick, a guy that will be solid. I don't think he's going to be a world beater by any means, but I think it's a position of not necessarily need, but you can never have too many DND tackle pass rusher type guys in the interior there. So if he's there, consider. And not to get too far out of the main day of the draft, but I have a list of names too for a second round, since we're kind of getting to that point. I have Chidobe Awuzie from Colorado, corner that I'm pretty high on. He doesn't necessarily have the huge breakout size, but he's pretty good. A D end edge rusher type who could even possibly fall into the third in Jordan Willis out of Kansas State. I think he's going to be a stud at some point in his career. Obviously, the Joe Mixon running back out of Oklahoma. And then another guy that, you know, probably not going to go safety in the first round, but a real consideration in the second round, Josh Jones, a strong safety out of North Carolina State. He is a beast, and he can lay the wood. I think he's a guy that can come in and just be that tone setter on the defense, because I don't know that we've had that in a long time. You know, I think it used to be Clay, because you could always count on him to be in there and possibly make that splash play. But I mean, a true tone setter where somebody's going to come across the middle that your head is going to get taken off. Haha's maybe been that guy lately, but to be that consistent true enforcer in the defensive backfield, I think this Josh Jones kid is a possibility there. And then another running back to mention later in the second round is Deonta Foreman out of Texas. I know you like him.
Yeah, it does start all good guys. I can't argue any of that. I mean, I've got, you know, I could sit here and tell you 5,000 different people.
Right.
I'm not, because I'm going to do it on a different show probably. But, you know, it's like you kind of mentioned earlier, we could sit here and we could predict the first round for seven or eight straight days. It's never going to work. It's never going to be that way. It's never going to be cookie cutter. It never changes. It's always crazy. It's always, always crazy. And, you know, you get guys that get drafted way too early, Deion Jordan. You get guys that, you know, might fall a couple picks or a few picks here and there, and that completely screws up, you know, the whole draft board. It changes things so quickly that it's hard to ever really look at it and think to yourself, okay, you know, if there was no, even if there's no trades, even if you said no trades first round, you still can't predict it, because there's always going to be guys that you know, get drafted earlier, get drafted late. Last year, you know, Laremy Tunsil, remember, he was like a number two overall pick until his, you know, that picture came out of him smoking out of a bong, and then he drops to 13. Well, that screwed everything up.
Yep.
You know, all of a sudden, everybody that would have taken him all of a sudden starts dropping back. Nah, I ain't going to touch that dude. Like, and then everybody, well, now I can take this guy because this guy wasn't here, and then that guy's not here now, so I can take that guy. And then everything just gets thrown into a freaking whirlwind. And usually, every single year, I sit at the draft and I have my couple magazines. I have a notepad I take notes, or I write stuff down on. And I do this by myself in my living room because I don't have any friends. And every single year, by about pick six or seven, I eventually just rip up every piece of paper I have and I just say, fuck it. I'm not even going to try, because this is ridiculous. Because it always changes. And that's the beauty of the draft. That's the fun part of the draft. And it's why I love it, man. Because you can't predict it. You can't think it's going to be one way. And things could go crazy. And Ted could trade up to 11 or 12, like you said. Or, you know, we could spend the entire night waiting for that pick, and then he could trade out of it, and we could all be so pissed. You know, it is what it is, and we don't know what's going to happen, and we don't know what's going to happen with Ted. And I would pay copious amounts of money to get to sit in that draft room with Ted and Mike who else? What am I missing here? Who's our freaking president? Mark Murphy. I would love it. I would love
it. But Leatherface?
Yeah.
How could you forget Leatherface?
I don't know, because it's Mark, Mike, and Mitchell, whatever. Anyway, so, I mean, that, could you imagine being in that draft room and just the conversations that happen and you know, just, I would just like to sit in a room with Ted Thompson for 6 minutes. I don't even care.
You know what's funny? I envision that draft room being dead silent the whole time.
It is. You know, that's the thing, is that probably is.
Ted just doing whatever the hell he decides he wants to
do
at
the moment. Yeah, it's probably extremely silent with, like, a real, like, James Taylor playing on in the background. Just really low-key, like, and then, you know, okay, we're up next. Ted just goes, all right, I'll make the phone call. And, you know, like, it's just probably so freaking calm. I mean,
you know, McCarthy probably finds out the same time we do.
Oh, absolutely. I'll guarantee
you. You know, none of that would surprise me that McCarthy, they talk all this game about how everybody's involved and blah, blah, blah. Nobody's involved. The Grand Wizard, the freaking Sizzler, he does what he wants when he wants to do it. And he doesn't tell anybody about it if he doesn't want to. And you know what? If he wants to pick a quarter, if he wants to pick Kaiser and trade away freaking Hundley, he'll do it. He'll do it 5 minutes before he's got to put his pick in. And if he thinks that's the right thing to do, that's what he's going to do.
I am going to have Pride and Glory make a shirt that says the Sizzler with Ted Thompson on it.
I think that's a good idea.
I just thought of it. Well, I kind of, you helped, I guess, with saying the Sizzler. But anyways. All right, so I think that's good. I think we're good for the show. What do you think?
I think we're good. I think the best thing that came out of the last 5 minutes was the fact that I now know that you're not going to be alone on draft night, at least day one. Aww, and when you crumple up all your draft stuff, I'm going to be there to tell you it's okay and give you some chicken wings from the ground round and maybe a pop. And we will just be happy as can be. Hopefully everybody that's listening can get down to the ground round in Nina and join us for the big draft party. I believe we're going to have stuff to give away too, besides Bud Light stuff, right? I mean,
oh yeah. Pride and Glory is going to be giving away a lot of stuff. I'm going to bring, we're going to bring a lot of shirts. We got some hats. We got some new shirts, some shirts you guys don't even freaking know about that are actually getting done this week. So it'll be like brand spanking new, fresh to death summer Packer shirts that are just, they're just awesome. You're going to freaking love them. Those will be given away. We got, you know, listen, it's going to be great. It's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. And if you can make it, make it, because, you know, free wings and well, good prices on beer.
You know, as excited as I am for the draft, I might be just as excited to meet some of the people that we talk to.
Yes,
if there
exactly.
If there are any people out there listening to us, I kind of want to meet you guys. I want to get to know some of you so we can interact a little bit more. We love you guys. You're the reason we are able to do this. I know it's a lot of enjoyment for myself, and I know you enjoy it as well. And just to get to know some of the people that listen to us, it's going to be a good time. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see how it all pans out, see what the Grand Wizard has in store for us for another year. I'm sure we'll both have our opinions, whether it be good or bad, of where guys go and who we get. And it's going to be exciting. And it's less than 2 weeks away now, or a little over 2 weeks away now. It's going to be good.
It's the freaking draft, baby.
Yeah.
It's the freaking draft. All right, so great show. Again, check out PrideAndGlory63.com. We got a new restock of the Legendary shirts, which are awesome. Tons of other shirts, sweatshirts, hats. We also have new wristbands coming in real soon. If you guys got a wristband before, I kind of screwed up on those. They're not that great. So the new ones are awesome, and they will not fade away. So we're going to work on that and make sure that the people that got the old ones get some new ones, and that's a whole thing. You know, and obviously check out the ground round, be there April 27th, come at 6 o'clock, come at 5 o'clock, get a good seat for the show. It's going to be great. Thanks again to ground round for sponsoring us this year. You guys are freaking awesome. And, we're going to do another show. There's going to be another show before the draft. There always is. And stay tuned. And Blaine, you killed it again with all your info. I appreciate it. And we will catch you guys next week.
Just look inside the speakers and dance.